You are now tuned in to How to Nerd, hosted by Roxy Hayes, Cleo Thomas, and Brennan Edwards.
What's up, y'all? Welcome to How to Nerd. I am one of the hosts, Brennan Edwards. You already know, we talk about all the things nerdy, but we got other hosts up in here. We got...
Cleo Thomas, a.k.a. Mr. Slick Living, a.k.a. Slick James, a.k.a. Slick in Your Average.
Oh, man, this man's great. And we also have...
Slick at Night.
Roxy Hayes, a.k.a. That's it.
That's it.
At Oxy, I don't have any one. On the Rocks, nice. A.k.a.
The hazy one.
Really? The hazy, that's it. Okay, you do
the hazy one's pretty good.
The hazy one.
I think it's more than one hazy.
Okay.
Ah! What a good transition. What a good transition. You may or may not recognize that famous voice that we just heard, because we do have a really special guest today. One of my good friends, a literal writer on comedy, an actual stand-up comedian. When I say writer, he does TV shows. Mm-hmm. This man is never not working. Every time I'm like, hey, man, what you up to? He's like, oh, I just got booked for this. I just got booked for that. Mm-hmm. He's done all the famous things. He always makes fun of me for saying how famous he is, because you shouldn't have to say it, is what he always says. But he is. But ladies and gentlemen, one of the titans of the industry.
Titan,
wow. Titans of the industry. Wow. Give it up for Rob Hayes.
Yeah.
No, it's my cousin.
Yeah, that's my cousin. Don't look it up, but we cousins.
No Google.
They got the
no
same
Googles.
Hands. You're right, genetic.
Stop saying that.
Wow.
They got the same hands.
Oh, no. Here we go.
It's on deck. Watch.
Wow, look how big her hand is.
Rob got big ass hands.
No, it's about the width, the girth
of
the fingers.
All right, so guys, we're here to look. We brought the Rob Hayes here today to talk about something real, real, real special to our community of blurredom.
Mm-hmm.
As we talk about 90s black TV, which honestly, there's a lot more of it than I ever could have imagined. Which I think I'm about to get a very real education. But we're gonna get into that in a minute. We always start with something else first. We're gonna start off with the pop quiz.
Mm-hmm.
Today we're gonna be focusing on Roxy. Because she is always, whenever we have our segments that sometimes we start off this, Rob, you don't know this. Sometimes we start off and we say, what are you nerding out on? And then we always talk about it. And, you know, Cleo normally has regular human stuff. I normally have regular human stuff. And she'd just be like, I'm nerding out today on the idea of monogamy.
Okay.
I'm on smoothies, you know?
It was the layering of the smoothies.
Yeah, exactly. So we're going to play a game. So what we're going to do, if you could just, take one, pass it down real quick. Is we're going to do the question of the day is, what do you guys think the random thing that Roxy is nerding out on today?
You'll never guess.
That's what we're going to do.
Can I find out what regular human stuff means?
So like regular human stuff for like Cleo would be,
for
Cleo,
nerds.
Give me some examples. What you got?
Nerding out stuff. I'm talking about X-Men 97. Yep. You watching that?
Yeah, banger. Of course.
New collectibles, new toys, a Magic Collection, new sneakers.
Yep. Okay.
Stuff like that.
Yeah. I'll say something
relatable.
Oh, I'm like in the Jets right now. Looking at like I saw Top Gun. It is.
Nerd.
I'm like, oh yeah, F-15, F-14s, F-22s, F-18s. I'm like learning about different jets, F-35s, stuff. And so I'm just like, that's
the
what I learned out.
Group from the 80s.
Thank you. Dinosaurs,
jets.
Whales, stuff like that.
Whale.
Cartoons, anime.
Okay.
Like these are the things that regular people nerd out about. But like she's over here like, I'm nerding out on monogamy. I'm like, why? She's like, I'm looking for love, but I gotta make sure I'm specific.
Yeah.
You know, just like, all right, that's...
I'm not mad at monogamy.
That's what I'm saying.
I'm not mad
but
at
he
it.
Was saying people don't study it, and I'm a weirdo for studying it.
So. But we should look into where it came from.
Thank
you.
That's my family.
Yeah.
So I'm going to put my thing that I think...
And it better not be stupid, and I think I spelled it wrong. Oh. If it's stupid, I'm a slag.
Dang. Can I use another sheet? Because I didn't... I went too crazy with one letter.
Oh wow, you doing
it's
a lot
like
of
It's like trying to put like
right.
Happy birthday, and then it's like dang, like
you missed the Y.
Okay,
the Y has no space.
Okay,
the H A P P is huge, and the Y is the corner.
I'll be knowing. Yeah. I'm gonna rewrite it.
All right, so Roxy, hide yours, please. We're gonna go ahead and start.
Y'all
with.
Finna piss me off.
Oh my god. Oh my god.
Who's that?
Oh my god. All right, so we're gonna go ahead. We're going to start with Rob Hayes, if you don't mind. Like, what would you think that Roxy is nerding out on, sir?
Okay, I would think that my cousin is nerding out on bonobos.
The chimps?
Yeah, well, no, they not chimps, but they more related to us than chimps. Mm-hmm. But, you know, mm-hmm. we don't talk about them because they matriarchal.
Yep.
And, you know what I'm saying, the patriarchy don't allow us to, like, know that we got some cousins mm-hmm. out there, mm-hmm. women-led. So I feel like Roxy mm-hmm. might get into that. Also, mm-hmm. they in Africa, you know yep. what I'm saying? Shout out to the motherland. So, yeah, I'm going with Bonobo.
Yo, that Bonobo. You nerded the fuck yeah. out of that. That was yeah. that was fantastic, sir. Yeah. Well done. You were okay. appropriate and nerdy. Now, let's see how inappropriate and nerdy this yeah. gets. Okay. Let's go ahead. Cleo, what you got?
I got she's nerding out about the fact of her gag reflex and why she claims she doesn't have one. Oh. After that, this is more to her scamming aspect. She was a part of Forex. And then she got into the NFT, so now she's trying to figure out what to scam with next.
Okay.
And then the last thing is a back brace for the, oh, it was these? But then it was like, no, then it was these.
First of all.
I feel like that was shot.
That wow. was a scene
yeah, drawing. You came you, with three switches.
Did you draw little ones and then put no and then drew bigger ones?
Yes.
And that areola is incorrect. That looks stupid. Get That's
Cleo.
Shit, take it, stupid.
Cleo, that was well done.
It was not.
So the thing that I feel like that she might be nerding out on is Cleo, Cleodora, Tomasito.
Little Thomas?
Tomasito.
Is it because I studied him?
Was I supposed to do three?
No, this is all one thing.
Oh, okay.
This is him.
Oh, okay.
Is that, you know, she has a minor obsession with this man, so I like to make sure that that's what I say. She's going like, what is Roxy, the weird thing she's nerding out on? She's a creeper. And so for me, this is like, this is her creeping on him. She's absolutely a creep.
Your cousin's a creep.
She's
bro.
Absolutely a creep. Okay. So let's see how close we all got.
Okay, may I respond to everything? All right. So actually, Bonobos, I actually was studying that last year. Funny. That's why I'm like, yeah, he is correct. And because they were a matriarchal. They had a matriarchal system. I was like, I didn't know that. I knew it existed in nature, but not with monkeys. So that was pretty good. Hey,
killer whales have matriarchal system too.
Really?
Yeah,
with monkeys. But yeah, they do.
So like the
mama be like, hey.
The mama would be like the one whooping everybody.
Like hyenas are the same way.
Yeah,
hyenas.
Meerkats.
Yeah. Oh wow.
Yo, meerkats do not be playing. But yeah, I was looking up. Yeah.
So hyenas use sex to control the men. Because you can't force sex on a hyena. Like mm-hmm. you know, in nature a lot of times like it's time for sex and the guys just do what they want.
Nope.
And hyenas they have to open up to be able to have sex mm-hmm. and you can't force it. Mm. So they control the males by saying, if you want a mate, then you got to impress me as well as I run this.
Yeah, they can make themselves have dicks, the women.
Dang.
Yeah, you seen that? Where like they were saying like, because there's whatever. So I'm getting to it.
It's getting deep.
But so, okay, so this one, I definitely don't have a gag reflex and it's not.
Wow, thank you. We didn't need to know that.
He wrote it on the paper.
You could have not responded.
I'm going to respond. I've never done Forex scams. I scam men on a one-on-one basis. And I actually have been looking at, I've been doing more back exercises because these things have gotten bigger. So you were, he's drawing more areola. Why did nobody say?
No, that's not areola. That's hair.
Oh, that's not, how do you know? Pervert. Okay. And you, I've been studying him for 5 years. I used to watch his streams. So yes, and he was streaming during the pandemic.
What do you think of the wording though? How do you like
it? I hate it. What's KKT mean?
Cleo, Cleodore.
And there's an L in there. Thomasito. Cleodore.
Tomasito.
I hate it. Okay. I don't like it at all. But yes, I do be studying Cleo. And what of it?
That's so creepy.
But what are you all actually, right, so what are you talking about?
Oh, I forgot. I was so aggressive. So all of you were wrong. Currently, which I study a lot, is Greek mythology. Right? I love Greek mythology, but specifically Lore Olympus. Lore Olympus is a webtoon that is about Persephone and Hades, but it's like a redone version and how they fall in love. And it's really good. It's really well written, and they touch on like some super dark themes like sexual assault and abuse and generational trauma. So it's actually a really, really good story. You should check it out. I think they're turning into a Netflix series. But yeah, I just really like Greek mythology and the stories. A lot of the stories are fucked up. But yeah, wrong, almost.
Okay.
Almost.
Wow.
Good job.
Okay. All right, guys, give them back. Thank you so much. I appreciate you guys being a part of this segment. These titties are pretty impressive.
It's heavy over there. I know.
Yeah, this is the clipboard got
the
so much
board
heavier
for you, I know.
Than I thought it was going to be.
I drew you on that paper. Okay, here you go.
Wow. Like me or Cleo?
No, you.
Me? Wow, that's me. That's me.
I had to hurry.
That's not even. All right, so speaking of nerding out, uh-huh. let's get into like what we are currently nerding out about. So you now get the idea of like, you know, mm-hmm. it's more mm-hmm. of like a current, like what have you been up to in the last couple of days? So I'm going to give them a couple examples to come back to you. So
okay.
I'm scared, so we'll go with Cleo.
You had one already?
Huh? No, I'll let you go first.
Okay, cool.
I'll go again.
I started going back into the rabbit hole of Easter eggs or hidden Mickeys at Disneyland, trying to find them all. And I recently was, they put up this thing called the Power of Joy Summit at Disneyland. So they had us in these cool rooms at the brand new hotel. And it was the Tiana room. And there was a hidden Mickey, but you could only see it if you turned the light on. And I was like, Disney knows how to do cool stuff like that.
That's so dope.
Keep the magic alive.
That is not
mad. Yeah. Always looking for cool hidden Mickey stuff.
That's dope. All
right. So the thing that I'm into, or that I've been playing with right now. No, it's just things that I just find online is interesting. You know, you start getting into the algorithm. I told you guys before that I was looking at jets and stuff. And because of that, now it's going down a deeper rabbit hole is like learning about like how jets land on aircraft carriers and take off on them. Ooh. And so, you know, they have like these normally like they have these steam launchers, like old school aircraft carriers. And most of them in the world still use it, like power up a bunch of steam. And they use the steam to boost them off of there so they don't have to have a long runway. But now they have like these Magna ones, you know, they're using magnets to do it. So and they're much more powerful and much more diverse of how much they can do. And they can do it more. They can do it faster than the steam one because obviously the steam one has to build up steam first and then launch. Whereas the Magna one is like you hit it with electricity and you're just good to go. So I was like, that's pretty cool. And I was like, what about the landing? And didn't realize like I know you may have seen it at some point. They land and like a little thing drops down off the back and then connects to a cable. Mm-hmm. Yeah, to a cable and the cable stops the plane. Did you know that each one of those cables costs $5 million?
What?
Yeah, they have to go. You got to think about it like this. That cable is like stopping the $200 million jet.
Investment from Crescent.
Yeah, so like if that cable fails, then they lose the jet. So these cables are like the highest level of alloy of steel or something like that, that are all twisted up in a very specific way that can stretch and then stop at a specific, like all these specific things that have to tie down to the ship in like 8 different ways. Wow. And it's like, it just, there's so much complexity to just the cable and the fasteners to the cable. So I was getting into like that cable thing. I was like, how could a cable cost $5 million? You know what I'm saying? Like, I couldn't believe it. So then I started watching like YouTube videos breaking down how they make this cable. I'm like, all right, this might be a few million dollars.
Guy who invested
that's
that.
So goofy. All the technology we got, and we need a strong cable. That's crazy.
Well, you know how it is. Sometimes
we can't even land a plane without some strong rope.
Well, I mean, the thing is, it's funny. Is like they also develop planes that don't need the rope, like the F-35. Like the the engines on the back. Like normally they push outward, so it just flies out. But it can flip, so then it pushes straight down. So like it can like do vertical takeoff and landings. So it'll just boop, drop right onto the aircraft carrier. But they're not as fast, though, because you can't push as much power out of them when they turn. So we do have jets that can do that, but they just realize it takes away from their capabilities.
Oh, so we need them so fast that we can't even stop them.
Yeah, we need cables.
We need a plane so fast that it's like, man, put a rope down when that plane lands.
Yeah, just like, yeah.
Hog
like,
tie that plane.
This guy gets it. All right, here we go. Rob Hayes, what have you been learning about, man?
So when 616 came out, I was in the weeds.
Oh,
right?
Here we go.
And so I was putting out fake narratives because, you know, other people were putting out like Tupac's birthday, Canadian Father's Day, American Father's Day, Corinthians 616, Proverbs 616. So then I found out Lilo and Stitch came out on 616. Because you don't get more West than Hawaii, you know what I'm saying? And Kendrick's an alien, you know what I mean?
Wow.
So then you got that. Then you got, you know, The Blackening came out on 616. So then that's a movie where they, you know, the killer kills people based off of they blackness.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? So there might be a connection there. But then I started looking up other stuff that wasn't related. Like, I was like, ooh, I wonder if The Sixth Sense came out on 616. It didn't. And then I was like, ooh, I wonder if it came on home video on 616. It didn't do that either.
Okay.
But then I looked up what's M. Night Shyamalan's birthday, what's Hale Joel Osteen's birthday.
Ooh.
That's what Kendrick called
him. He did call him.
Yeah, yeah. But Joel I like my rappers not knowing child star's name. Like, so, you know, I'm looking that up and then come to find out The Sixth Sense came out on M. Night Shyamalan's 30th birthday. So now I'm like, that's ill. Now I'm looking like, who else movies came out on their birthday? And so I've been in numerology as far as like directors and movies, and I haven't found much. But it's that there. Is sick that M. Night Shyamalan's best movie came out on his 30th birthday. That is the
best
hard.
Movie for that, damn, you forever. Just talked to him.
You just took us down a real rabbit hole. Thank you for that. That was.
I thought that's what I was supposed to.
No,
do.
No, you were. Exactly I was thanking you. You
this
killed
not
that.
How the Nerd.
No, that was it.
That's what we wanted to hear.
I was complimenting.
I'll go on How Not the Nerd.
Oh, no,
that's right.
You know what I'm saying?
No, you killed it. No, but not what. But you'll see. Roxy, go ahead.
Okay, so as I said earlier, I have been studying Greek mythology, and Lore Olympus is one of them. But also,
Here we go.
I've been studying. Okay, so I found out that like I'm on one of those websites where it's like celebrity blah blah blah, right? And it has all this information on there. And we had all these like I didn't really have no information on there. It was like she don't have no man. It didn't say it like that, but it was like she be fake dating anime characters and all of this stuff. And so yeah, I've just been reading like other people's random bio. It said my net worth was like $500,000, which I'm like, y'all just make shit up. But it was just very interesting. And so I started just like Googling people. It's a lot on you. It's not much on you. So yeah, I just be Googling random people and just looking up like people's information.
But the U's that she was referring to is the first U was Cleo. The second U was unfortunately me.
Okay, so Cleo, there was a lot of information on you. Absolutely nothing on you. You have a lot of stuff on there too. Your net worth is crazy. Yours is really high. They had nothing.
Just forget some. You don't
those
forget
are
that,
lies.
First and foremost, don't forget that some people are just listening.
Oh, they're just listening? Okay, lies. I'll insult you again. So yours is very high, Cleo Thomas. Rob Hayes, yours was pretty good. Brennan Edwards, nothing. They were like, this guy, fuck him. So
got it.
That's what I've been nerding out on, just looking up celebrity.
All right, so everybody's
what's
been on
the number?
I'm not
what's the number?
It.
What's the number they put on me?
So yours on you were on like a couple different websites. They're like the really cheapy ones. So you're on the kind of not as cheapy ones. One of yours said you had like a million. And then another
That laugh.
And then another said like a quarter million.
Okay.
I looked yours up this morning.
Both of those are absolutely incorrect.
One of yours was like 10 million. And then it had a list of your like ex girlfriends, and then it had.
Cleon didn't ask for his number.
You can't say a fucking word because it's all cap. Like, everything she says is cap.
Yeah, I don't, you know.
Thank you, Rob.
I gotta treat my rich friends right. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? They say he had 10. Yeah. Cleo didn't say nothing about his number. You know.
But yeah, it was just interesting. A lot of Patrick on there, Tahir's on there, just like random people that I know. So it's just very interesting looking that up.
I'm very happy. I wasn't on there.
I'm gonna put you on there.
Please don't.
It brings in Edwards. Yeah, so I'll do that later. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, Rob, so happy. I think I got some.
All right, guys, it's time to get into today's topic. Obviously, we're talking about the 90s black shows. We have an expert here, Rob Hayes. You okay there, Roxy?
Hit my elbow.
Oh, yeah. Well, at least it wasn't your hand. We all survived. I'm going to talk about what it is first. Is the landscape of black television in the 1990s was marked by a significant rise in representation across various games, from sitcoms to animated series. This era saw the emergence of shows that not only entertained audiences, but also provided a platform for diverse narratives and perspectives. Several factors contributed to the rise in the importance of these shows, like increased representation, breaking stereotypes, addressing social issues, and crossover appeal. These shows had a profound cultural impact, influencing fashion, music, and language. Mm-hmm. The 90s black TV landscape served as a launchpad for many talented actors and comedians who went on to achieve widespread success in Hollywood and beyond. Names like, we already know, Will Smith, Jamie Foxx, Queen Latifah, Cleo Thomas, and Steve Harvey became synonymous with success in both television and film. Overall, the 1990s marked a pivotal moment in black history, television, as well as movies like When Holes Came Out, with shows that not only entertained, but also inspired and empowered audiences. The talents of actors, writers, and creators paved the way for greater representation and diversity in television, leaving a lasting legacy that continues to influence the industry to this day.
Big facts.
That was the 2000s.
Holes?
What was it?
2004.
Yeah, I was going to say 2004.
Was The Book even out in the 90s?
Yeah.
I want to say 2000.
I thought it was like 99.
Interesting.
I
was going to say 2004, but I didn't want to sound like a creep since I'll be stalking you.
So we're going to get into discussion. Got a few questions that I want to ask the group. But I want to start with you, Mr. Hayes.
Okay.
You are the expert. I want to ask, what made 90s black TV shows stand out in terms of representation and storytelling compared to previous decades?
I think there's only a few different styles of sitcoms. So you have, you know, your family sitcom, You have your workplace sitcom. You have your urban tribe. And I think we
What's the last one?
Urban tribe. So people who are forced to like live together who aren't necessarily related, like roommates, friends, odd couple, golden girls.
Got
and then
it.
And then you have your hybrids. Mm-hmm. And I think that before the 90s, we were kind of just relegated to family sitcoms. Mm-hmm. You know, I guess you could say Sanford and Son is a hybrid because they also work there, but, you know, it's at their house. Right. So I think like in the 90s, we got to get urban tribes like Living Single and you know, Malcolm and Eddie and the Wayans brothers. Oh, I guess the Wayans brothers could be family and work, you know.
It's hybrid. It's hybrid, yeah.
Hybrid. So we got to experience all different styles of shows. And also, there were shows that not only had black faces, but black people behind the mm-hmm. camera, black people writing and making decisions. And I think our humor was tapped into the most mm-hmm. in the 90s.
Okay.
I agree.
Oh, do you have anything to add to that?
What was the question?
Good Lord.
I'm not
I said, how, like, I was like, pretty much like, what did the 90s do that was different than the generations before, like the 80s, 70s, 80s? Because you're looking at these older shows, yeah. You know, it's just like, so what made the 90s special in that space of like, what was brought to the culture?
Got you. I think for just seeing so many black people on TV in different spaces, like you were saying, like Sanford and Son and Jeffersons and all those, like, you know, they were iconic, but they all kind of felt the same. Like even with
the Cosby Show?
Yeah, well that was what, 80s? Late,
yeah, Cosby's was
mid
80s.
But I don't know. I don't feel like, and maybe because I was a kid, but I don't feel like those shows like ever spoke to me. Mm. You know, but like the shows in the 90s, they just felt relatable. Like you said, like they had our humor and you could tell like these are black people writing these jokes and like telling these stories. Even like, yeah, Sanford and Son, some of them don't feel like it was all black back there. Like you could tell. Some of them weren't all black because it couldn't be. It's old as shit. But yeah, I feel like the 90s was just more representative of like who we are as people.
I'm with that.
Big facts on that one. I remember like watching UPN and seeing
underpaid.
Exactly. Like hearing that later, like UPN stand for underpaid Negroes. I'm like, Jesus Christ. But seeing some of the shows that were on that, like I was, even though I'm a huge cartoon guy, huge video game guy, I was trying to always watch whatever new episode of whatever show that I liked on UPN. I was always making sure to be there to watch it live. So whether it was Moesha, whether it was the Parkers, whether it was, what's another one that was on there that was crazy?
101?
No, I was out of it by 101. Half. Malcolm and Eddie was on UPN?
Malcolm and Eddie was on back-to-back comedy.
No. UPN. Yeah. Listen, man.
Sparks.
Sparks.
That was a lawyer show, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
Who was on that?
Good News. Miguel.
Was Terrence Howard?
With Sanford. Jefferson dude. What is his name? Sherman Helmsley. No, that was Amen.
No, that's Amen. Amen. That's Good Amen. News is with Guy Tori.
Yeah,
it's based on a church. It's like mm-hmm. it's like another Amen style show. Yeah.
What was Flex Alexander's original show?
Homeboys and Outer Space. Oh, wait, no, before that, you talking about the one with like him and
his hair was wild.
Dougie
still.
Doug and like
ooh.
And it's like, oh man, yeah.
You know what I'm talking about.
I know what you're talking about. It was like it was produced by Bill Cosby, I think. Where I Live. Yeah.
Oh, with Dougie Doug.
Yeah.
I used to love Dougie Doug. I had a crush on him. Yeah.
Mm. Okay, so that's the one I'm thinking of.
Yeah,
man.
Jeez.
Mm-hmm.
Guy's been in the business a long time, man. Mm-hmm. So we're talking about black 90s shows, right? And we think sitcom. So that means there has to be, you have your black cast, but then there's a live studio audience there with them.
For the most part, yeah. Most of them are multicam. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Especially in the 90s, yeah.
Do you think, for a comedian to cross over into that lane, right? At mm-hmm. that time, you got Martin, right? Who was a mm-hmm. veteran comedian up to that point. Mm-hmm. Who were some other comedians that you think nailed it when it came to sitcom wise, and some that maybe weren't able to make that distinction of like, okay, we're not live as far as like you live on the microphone. Mm-hmm. We got to nail these beats,
right? I mean, Hanging with Mr. Cooper.
Oh, that show was great.
You know, like the story of Mark Curry is somebody who just, you know, was so good at stand-up mm-hmm. really early on that, you know, just moved down here from the Bay and was on TV in a short amount of time.
Mm-hmm.
The Jamie Foxx Show.
Mm-hmm. Banger.
You know, and those shows, you hear about them, they would tape on a Friday. They would tape, like, it would feel like an event at the taping. From what I read, you know, even the Fresh Prince, like they would tape, their tape days seemed live. Like, it seemed like, you know, like that audience was juiced to be there. And also, you know, a lot of sitcoms is a performance. It's theater, you know, and a lot of those funny people are surrounded by trained actors that have been in the business a long time, and we're able to, you know, not only give them game, but hold down a dramatic scene, you know, sometimes if they had to. Steve Harvey, the Wayans brothers, it was so many.
Wow. So, I mean, that's interesting. So, like, in that space, like, what would you say would, if you had to pick, obviously we're going to play the ranking game, but if you had to pick, like, what would you say is the 90s black show that you believe had the most significant cultural impact, and why? I mean, you look like you already have an answer, so I'm going to save you. Roxy, what you got?
That's a hard one, because the most, you know what? I'm going to go with, I have like two.
You got to get one.
I know.
Give
me
one.
Like five.
One.
Okay, I'm going to go six. So if we're going six. Seven.
Save some for the rest of us.
Fuck y'all. No, I feel like culturally, and people could disagree, I feel like I've had kind of this conversation with people before. I'm going Fresh Prince.
Okay.
For a couple different reasons. I feel like seeing, because what Will Smith represented at that time, right? It was like, oh, I'm this hip-hop person, and seeing black people of affluence. And like, we saw it with the Cosby Show, right? But like, nobody on the Cosby Show was like, what's a nice way to put, like, no, they weren't cool. Like, nobody on the Cosby Show. I say what I said. Theo?
I would love to hear
Theo was cool? Who was cool on the
Cosby? Jamming on the one. That's what he said with Stevie Wonder in the room. How's that not cool?
Said what I said. So back
jamming
to
on the one.
I don't feel
on,
like,
man,
nobody on that show was aspirational for me to who I want to be. Seeing Will Smith, the fish out of water story, come into Bel Air and be there and see these, this black family together, first of all, and not curse. Like, it wasn't, it, you could watch it with your family. Like, it was a family show that you could watch with your family that still felt cool. Cosby Show for me always felt corny. So for me, seeing it, I said, hey.
I can't wait to hear Rob's response.
I feel like it was Fresh Prince.
I'm talking about Heathcliff. I ain't going hard for the other dude.
Go for it. Heathcliff,
Dr. Heathcliff Huxtable. All right. You got it.
All right.
You got it.
No, I'm gonna go next because I have the same answer as you as the Fresh Prince. I don't consider myself to be an expert of 90s TV because, as we've talked about before, I grew up a little bit under a rock, raised by a farmer. Wasn't allowed to have cable a lot of my life, so I didn't get to watch a lot of TV. So
most of these shows didn't come on cable.
That's a response time for people. That same response every time.
Yeah, I mean, we weren't even really allowed to watch TV though. Like, it's like
okay,
you
well,
outside.
Then say that. You know,
we can.
Hey, we ain't have cable, man. I couldn't watch all that ABC and Fox and CBS y'all talking about.
The UP.
No, but I did watch. So I did watch Fresh Prince, and the thing for me that made Fresh Prince so culturally relevant is because it wasn't just about black culture. Mm-hmm. Is that, like, I went to a school that was a very diverse school at the time. I thought it was, but, you know, it was 10% black, but it was a huge school. So it was a lot of black folks. So the black folk would be talking about what happened in the episode, but the white kids would have no problem joining the conversation because they'd be watching it too. And so for me, the cultural relevance that everybody was watching it, I think it just had a bigger splash. It was just like something would happen on it. It didn't matter who you were talking to. You're just like, we all talking about the same shit. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, Hillary's husband, you know, fiance died bungee jumping. Next day, everybody's just like, did y'all see that? You know, it's like, is everybody's talking about it. Now we're talking about bungee jumping. Like, everything that happened on The Fresh Prince became a part of the entire culture of the country. Mm-hmm. And so for me, that's a really big cultural impact. And when people even talk about 90s TV shows, not just black TV shows, when they talk about 90s TV shows as a whole, like, you cannot, like, leave out Fresh Prince. Nobody does.
No.
And so for me, when it comes to cultural impact as a whole and in the black community, on the black community side of it, seeing ourselves in a way that we haven't before, you know, it's just like we have a judge, you know, Uncle Phil, who has a affluent black family that fits into the community of Beverly Hills and is a leadership pillar in that community. And they seem like there's never been a problem about them fitting in. The only issues they had were people that were outside of their community or people that were ancillary, like the police were messing with Carlton or whatever. So like all side things. But like when it came to like, this is our house, this is our community, this is our school, like there weren't issues with that because they were just meant to be there. And that was like a really big, I think, a significant thing for us to see us in those spaces because we're meant to be there. And so that for me was really important to see as a kid. So that's my answer. Yeah. So Cleodora, what you got?
Same as both of you guys. It comes to Will Smith and what he's got a chance to build.
I'm so happy I waited for Rob for the info that's going.
When it comes to,
I was scared it was going to be gone.
When it comes to the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, man, it's iconic in so many different ways. The fact that here we are years later and they were like, yo, we're gonna reboot it, but we're gonna flip everything on its head, make it completely different. Old Carlton's snorting lines. Wow, shit. I was like, what? First episode? I was like, wait. Yo,
Carlton,
you
did wilding.
Not see that. You assumed that. We did not know.
It wasn't on camera.
Yeah, it wasn't on camera. We don't know how he took the speed. We just saw him doing the hardest running man in the history of television. Shout out to Alfonso's feet.
Yeah. No, I'm not even talking about Alfonso. I'm talking about in the new reboot.
Oh, you're talking about Bel-Air.
No, no disrespect to Fonzo. No,
I was gonna say, we definitely saw him.
Yeah, I'm about to say, I'm like,
Bel-Air. I was like, when you said that, I was like, I'm pretty sure he literally was going snorted off the table. But okay,
Go Carlton.
Crazy. No, man, it's for that show to have done what it's done, and it made an incredible superstar like, you know, Will Smith become what we became straight after that, man, and. For years later to hear the cold, like the Uncle Phil line, like it really does mean so much to us as a culture. So I'm going with Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. Not my favorite of the 90s run as far as black shows, but I got to give it to Bel-Air. But Rob,
we talking about cultural impact? Come on, man. Come on, man. Like, what's up? Like that was a thing in the 90s immediately. Like that there were songs. What's up in Atlanta? There were whole what's up songs. Like that took you go girl. Like immediately that was like in the culture as a thing. I feel like Martin speaks to just that time, and just it spoke to us. It was for us. Martin wasn't for anybody else but us. And it was such a humor that we hadn't seen before. There was character work. There was crazy cameos. You know, we talking about Biggie.
Yep.
When Biggie was hot, we talking about Snoop.
Yep.
We talking about Charles Barkley talking on TV for the first time on a television show. Like, come on.
That's why it's my favorite. I don't want to jump ahead of it, but like that's why that Martin is my favorite of that run.
Yeah.
And I wonder,
Romy Rome in the house. What? Watch your mouth, bro. Man, fifth floor.
Bro, man.
Yeah.
And, Random kick spoils. Me
in the hell, right.
Well, look, we talking about characters right now. So first and foremost, it's Martin. You can't take that away. That's one of the funniest things that's ever happened.
Right.
Period. Like, just like you watch any of those episodes, if you're not laughing out loud, you don't have a soul, in my opinion. Like, that show kills me every single time. Because, like, I remember I used to doubt it.
Huh? Joy.
Oh, he likes
it. He said he laughed out
loud.
Oh,
I just realized that.
Yeah.
Hey, write it down. Someone. Someone.
Remember, he said he laughed out loud.
He don't like happiness, Rob. This is the first time.
When have we ever heard that?
So now we know.
Then Martin will do it. It's timeless.
See, I
love Lucy. You know what I'm saying? Like, you watch Martin
Lucy.
With the sound.
Who doesn't love I Love Lucy?
Physical humor lasts way longer. Dragonfly Jones will last way longer than any joke with words that requires references and context. Like physical humor is timeless.
Just to interject, the reason I did, because I was thinking Martin too, but the reason I picked Fresh Prince is because I feel like everybody could watch Fresh Prince. Everybody couldn't watch Martin. Like, I was not allowed, because I only really watched, I'm sorry, I grew up with cable. So I only watched those shows when I was at my grandma's house. My grandma was a Sunday school teacher. So, like, we couldn't watch Martin. She would let us watch Fresh Prince. And even talking to some of my friends, like, everybody could not watch Martin because there's cursing, there's profanity, talking about sex. But Fresh Prince, they would have some trickles in it. It was more of a family sitcom that everybody could watch. But I don't think that takes away from the impact of Martin. But
the Fresh Prince, you got a grown man pretending like he in high school and he cursing a little bit. He got a mustache.
Who cussing more?
He's saying damn. He's saying
rarely,
hell.
Rarely.
I'm saying ooh.
I'm saying ooh. Who was cussing more?
I think Martin wasn't cursing, Martin would
damn Gina,
damn Gina. But Martin would say like he would say motherfucker and stuff, but like in a sound, you know, like Cole would say something, he was like,
it's still there.
Yes, well, continue. I mean, so that we're talking about the phrasing, and you even said like the "what's up" from Martin is a big deal. So let's talk about like, what do you think? Which character do you think had like the most memorable catchphrase like, out of all of them? Because obviously, like we're talking about what's the best, what's most culturally impacted, but like, what character said the thing that you're just like, yo, that junk, like, how do you not? You know what I'm saying? How do you not? You know, one of them for me is like not even something that was really said. It's just like the way that, you know, in Will Smith and Carlton would shake hands or jazz, like. Like for me and my friends, we do that shit all the time. Hey, what up? You good? Psh, like, you know, that was just part of what we did.
I see you doing that.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, we did.
Get out of here.
Yeah, first and foremost, we're not gonna make fun of me for enjoying the culture.
Did y'all say y'all was gonna do it? Or you really was just doing it?
What if we didn't do it, babe?
Oh, yeah.
What if just one person did it?
Yeah.
What if it was just like,
it's fine?
You go for it.
Okay. Ready?
Y'all both just let each other die right there.
Oh, I'm so.
It hurts, right? Yeah. It hurts, right?
That don't feel good.
Yeah.
You know?
She's really hurt right now.
Thank you. That felt great. That would have hurt. I would have had to leave the school. Y'all heard Cleo ain't pushed that bitch in the hallway.
Do y'all think that was a real handshake already? Or you think they were like, oh, we got to do something for the sitcom?
It felt real. Because they did it on like the first episode.
Right.
I feel like they was just like, hey, let's do our thing.
I feel like
I'm calling writing on that one.
You think it was writing?
I'm calling writing. I'm gonna call
the Fresh Prince writing staff. Did not write that. How you spell?
I'm gonna say
PSHHHH.
I'm gonna say
I don't think it said that specifically.
It said do a handshake.
When his $10 million done got one of the scripts in his compound. My bad.
You know he liked to collect.
What I'm thinking is it wasn't written. It says and Will and Jazz do special friendship handshake.
I got you.
That's what I think was written in the
bracket.
Yeah.
I think that was improv. I think that Will Smith, when he first got on that, because I watched some of his interviews and stuff about like what it was like when he first started filming that show, and it's
he
like
was just doing shit.
Yeah, he was just like, yo, like I've never acted in anything. Like I did a couple music videos and stuff, and he's just like, this all came together at a party.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like I literally signed the contract for this in a limo at a party. You know what I'm saying? Like this all,
that's crazy.
Yeah, this all literally. Right? Yeah.
When we think,
like what? Like,
right. Dealing, y'all, he did y'all be thinking time. They creepy when they close some doors. They really just giving out sitcom. Y'all be at the party like, all right, it's time for me to head out.
And he's
that's
like,
when the sitcoms
he
come
like,
out.
See, I had a whole deal.
Right, you
could have
got
8 o'clock
on Wednesdays, but you like, I gotta go home. It's getting weird in here.
Yeah. People signing stuff. Well, if you don't know the story, like I think it was that Quincy Jones had a party at his house.
Yep.
And this party, this show was pitched to him, was pitched at his there. I don't remember the whole story. It was pitched to him, and Will Smith was like put on the spot, like, yo, like, take this scene and do it.
Do it.
And Will Smith was like, nah, man, this is stupid. And there was like, he had to be convinced to do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and what's up?
Okay, so he was, Quincy Jones had a party. Will Smith was on tour. He said, you need to be at this party. Will Smith flies across the country to the party.
Yep.
Shows up. They give him a scene. They have him do it, like, basically an audition in the party. Will's like, I don't want to do this. Quincy take him to the back. He's like, hey, bruh, this is your chance. Will said he looked up at the Michael Jackson on the wall and was like, this a dude that made Thriller. All right, I'm going to go for it. He did the scene before maybe Dick Ebersol. One of them NBC dudes,
yep.
Tartikoff, one of them dudes, we got in the limo. They signed a deal.
That's
boom.
Still crazy.
So yeah, so like that's that. Like summer of 90. The Fresh Prince comes on air September of 90. So that's okay. why everything's so current. That's why every reference they make on the show is like 90.
Yeah.
Because they made it in 90 and it came out in 90. So yeah. Like, you know, all the songs, you know, like everybody did the like fits, everything yeah. That everything that they're referencing is of the time because that's the thing. Sitcoms used to be like, we shoot it and then we put it out, you know, maybe a month ahead of time. So they could be current. They could be, you know, topical. They could talk about what's going on right now because people were going to receive that before they receive anything. They didn't have social media. You know what I'm saying? Everybody didn't even have cable.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Everybody didn't have cable. Thank you so much for bringing that to us.
For Rob to break down that story and it's just amazing because if you tell that same story today, right? And the one key part in that you said to me was the he didn't want to do it, right? Mm-hmm. Say that same story today. I was like, he didn't want to do it.
Put him in the limo. He ain't want to do it. Made him sign the contract. Then
we don't. You don't get that. You don't get any of this. No, mm-hmm. no Fresh Prince. No yep. Will. No yeah. Uncle Phil. All yeah. that's gone.
No sweatshirt.
Now, which is a crazy shirt, by the way. I didn't know that this existed. It's a dope ass sweater. Yeah, is it Bathing Ape collab?
Yeah, one of them collabs during the pandemic. You yeah. know what I'm saying? People were stressed out, spraying down groceries. I'm online like, nah, I gotta beat these people out on this sweatshirt.
Beat the bots out. Yeah, so, man. No, it's definitely a timeless classic, and agreed. We can watch it forever at this point.
Well, you know, and it's interesting to me because, like, when we're looking at 90s black sitcoms, you were speaking to
I can't say my catchphrases.
Oh, go ahead. Yeah. I'm so sorry. You're right. My bad.
Like, Brennan just like, well, I got mine now. All right. Y'all, fuck y'all. Y'all don't get a turn.
You're right. You're like, right. Go ahead.
Yeah, how the nerd is just hogging the whole thing. I get it. No. Because we not going to talk about I falling and I can't get up. Got any cheese? You know what I'm saying?
Got any cheese?
We not gonna skip Jaleel.
Hey, yeah, we talk about
catchphrases. We gotta talk about Steve and Q Urkel. You know what I'm saying?
Hit me.
What is it? What is Steve's
my brother and
other
me.
Version?
You talking about Stefan Urkel? Yeah. Are you talking about Myrtle Urkel? Mm-hmm. Are you talking about Cornelius?
The cousin.
Who?
His when he was
cousin. Huh? He's encyclopedic, bro.
Wait.
Before Stefan is Myrtle Urkel.
Yeah.
Who? His cousin. That's yep. a girl.
The girl. The you're right. Yes. Yes. She. Okay.
And
I remember.
She's in love with Eddie.
Yep. Yes. I remember this.
How to do? Yeah. I love
yeah,
Myrtle Urkel.
That's right, man. And shout out to Jaleel,
what's up,
bro.
Big guy. He was a Jaleel, catchphrase man. Machine. I'm weighing you down, baby.
I'm weighing you down. I will be saying that.
Can you break down the story even as that? He wasn't even supposed to be on. This was a character that was thrown in there, and it just reacted?
Yeah. So Family Matters is the reason we don't really include it like that, we ain't brought it up yet, is because it, you know, the writing staff wasn't, you know what I'm saying?
It was a
spinoff of Perfect Strangers.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So Perfect Strangers, Harriet worked in the elevator as an elevator operator.
Which is crazy.
Already in the late 80s, she's doomed because, you know, like, sooner or later we get buttons. You know what I'm saying? So her husband is Carl, who is a cop, mm-hmm. which is played by Reginald Vail Johnson, who is just a cop. In Die Hard. So that's basically, right. back then what they would do is if somebody was hot and somebody else was hot, they would put them together mm-hmm. and that gave the show a better chance. So like Fox, Queen Latifah had a holding deal and Kim Fields had a holding deal. So they put them together to make Living Single. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Because they needed stuff to put around Martin. Martin came the first year, then Living Single came after that. So the first couple episodes is just about a family who, you know, you got the Cosby Show on. This they're trying to be the everyman, you know, like Cosby's mm-hmm. a doctor. You know, the first episodes, Eddie wants some J's. He can't afford them. He ends up getting a job at the grocery store so that he could buy his own shoes. You know what I'm saying? Like those type of just everyday problems and stuff. Then there's one episode where Carl wants... meets this guy who's not gonna try anything with Laura to take her to the dance. Mm-hmm. Basically, Laura, it's time for her to go to a dance. Carl don't trust the neighborhood Chicago boys mm-hmm. around Laura, so he gets this nerd to take her to the dance.
Yeah.
And then that's our introduction mm-hmm. to Steve Urkel.
Really?
And back mm-hmm. then, like so because things were made so immediate, if you tested well, you got more lines, you got more parts. Mm-hmm. So if you come in as a neighbor and you rip, then they're like, we got to write stuff for this kid. This mm-hmm. kid is a star.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, Jaleel White, seasoned. He was already on a sitcom, like a short-lived sitcom with like Flip Wilson mm-hmm. and Neil Carter. I don't know the name of it. I don't remember the name of it, but like, but yeah. So Jaleel White's like a little professional kid. He kills it. They put together, you know, nerd stuff's already picking up. You mm-hmm. know, like SNL had the nerd sketch. Revenge of the Nerds is mm-hmm. popular in the 80s. So the nerd is already a trope in the zeitgeist. And now we have a black person in this role, in this black world, and it just takes off.
Damn, bro. I was not aware of what happened beforehand. I really thought Jaleel really started with Family Matters. Damn, that's news to me.
Yeah, no, he was in commercials and stuff. Like he was a working like child actor, you know. But he didn't have that big break yet. Yeah. So yeah.
And that's can exactly. we talk about that's why the first Harriet left? Was because of Jaleel White.
She yeah, they like, said they was ready to scrap. Yeah. Well, there was a lot of tension on the set because, like I said, it was the combination of these two people who are seasoned actors mm-hmm. getting this show, and they were the leads. So Reginald Vail Johnson fought to be number one on the call sheet mm-hmm. because it was his show coming in. He was the biggest star. So then what they did, because they saw that he was so serious on the acting tip about that, they figured out other ways to pay Jaleel White. So, mm-hmm. yes, you're number one on the call sheet, but Steve is number two, mm-hmm. Stefan is number three, Myrtle yeah. is number four, uh-huh. Cornelius is number five.
Damn.
Also, okay, one episode this season is going to be written by Jaleel White.
Yep.
Another episode is going to be directed by Jaleel White, which you're not in. You know, they figured out ways to get him his bread. Mm-hmm. He had a doll. I had a doll.
Yeah, I did.
I still want one of those.
When Stefan Urkel came out, I ripped the glasses off. I was like, I got to see if he looked like Stefan. He did not. He just looked like Steve without his glasses. I think he had a cereal.
He did.
Your man was Sonic. He was
let's not forget Sonic. The chili dogs. Dogs.
Yeah.
Shout out and to he was all the characters. He was him, the sister, and the brother.
I didn't even know that.
Mm-hmm. I didn't know that.
You
could hear anything like, yeah, he's just doing Myrtle's voice.
Okay. But my catchphrase is Andrew. Steve Urkel. Yeah.
Good Lord, bro. You killed it. I like how you brought it back. And by the way, my catchphrase is Steve Urkel.
Yeah, yeah.
Did I do that? What you got?
Did I do that?
I'm good on it. No, I didn't have anything else to really add to it. I threw out my favorite one, which was Martin. Okay. But I cannot sit here and not speak high enough praise about Moesha.
Motita.
Come on.
With spinoff shows.
Loved that show. Yeah. I don't know why. I think it may be that was my first TV crush was Brandy.
Oh, man. I was all in it. I was right there with you, just so you know. I watched all the episodes, and even I watched the Parkers and spinoff too. Want me to be with I watched you, that because I was just, I felt bad watching it because my sister's like, we're going to go watch the Parkers. I'm like, I don't want to watch that. I'm just going to eat my meal and sit here while it's on and not stop and eat real slow and just keep watching it because I liked it.
I love Moesha.
Go back and look at the airing dates of mm-hmm. Moesha. They never took a break. Mm-hmm. They started in January and ended by May, and they did not take a break. They did mm-hmm. them 26 weeks straight.
So we out here.
It was like it came back after. Yeah, no, like other shows, you know, that would take Christmas break. They'd be like Christmas episode. Like they were not playing. Wow.
Damn.
Yeah.
I hate Moesha. I don't. I like the show.
What?
Wait, can I finish? Whoa.
Oh wow.
Rewatching
Black
it.
Woman?
Let me finish.
Yeah, go ahead, Black woman.
Rewatching Moesha. She's a terrible person.
Why?
Like watching
she
it
is.
Now.
That's.
I'm just telling you why I hate it. Y'all was all shocked. She treats Kim like shit. They all kind of do. Like how they made Countess Vaughn feel for being fat, and she wasn't even really fat. Like just and how she talked to her. Fucking dad, how she talked to D. And this is now I'm an adult. Now I'm a parent watching this. I'm like, if Maya was talking to me, I'd slap the shit out you. Who you talking to like that? Like, get out of here,
homicide. This is what you're saying.
Oh. You're next. But yeah, but it was a good show for the time. Also, I wanted to say that, we was talking about Family Matters. We keep going stuff. Harriet left that last season, and a lot of people don't even know, like, there was a new Harriet that last season of Family Matters.
Well, they moved Family Matters from Fridays to Saturdays first. And that's when the new Harriet came
Show
in.
So new Harriet.
A lot of people missed that. And
that whole
then
last season.
They moved to CBS after that mm-hmm. and did the last two seasons on CBS. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people did not see
that last
new Harriet.
Season was terrible though. When he went to space and
he
stuff.
He went to space.
It was stupid.
Can I ask a question in regards to the timing in which some of these shows played, right?
Yeah.
Do you remember what time the new episode of a Fresh Prince of Bel-Air episode aired?
That was a Monday show.
A Monday show at what
so,
time?
So it came on at 8. Blossom came on, I think, at like 7:30. And
you
then
look like Blossom.
Or Blossom came on at 8 and Fresh Prince came on at 8:30. But it followed Blossom.
Okay, so 8:30 on a Monday.
Yeah.
When did Martin come on?
Martin came on Thursdays. But Fox, if you came on Thursdays, sometimes you'd be on Sundays, depending on. And then when they got the NFL, then it went back to Thursdays.
Okay. So that's why I remember. I watched way more Martin than I ever watched Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Yeah, because Fresh Prince of Bel-Air gets you wrong on a homework tip. Because
first day in your weekend.
First day.
Oh, yep. Yeah. That's why they watch it.
So I would try to get my homework done by 8 so that I could see the Fresh Prince. Yeah.
Gotcha. That's okay. Mm-hmm. Now I know. Mm-hmm.
All right. So I do have one, since you know what I'm saying, we're having a great time. We're being educated. You're killing it. But I do have one final question for you guys that I want to get into our discussion phase.
This is less? We got 17 questions on there, bro.
We do have 17 questions, but we're spending 20 minutes per question.
Hey.
You know what I'm saying? So
a multiple parter. You know what I'm saying?
But you're going to like this question.
All right.
All right, so crossover episodes were a big deal in the 90s, because I know you know this better than most. Can you recall any memorable crossovers in the 90s black TV shows or shows outside of the blackness that you were really like big deal? So I'm just going to give this to Rob Hayes if you guys want to see if y'all can pick up some spoilers.
Just mine is extremely short because it's not a full episode. It was a Family Matters episode where at the end, Uncle Phil came on and said,
That's my favorite.
I'll be crying when I see it now because they were on the same watch. So he just pops up and everybody gets out. Everybody's yelling.
That's my favorite.
The live audience.
It felt weird seeing James Avery with just a black tee on.
It was a dingy ass black tee. It was dingy as shit.
It was like, that's how you really roll? Put your Uncle Phil clothes on.
Put your suit on.
What are you doing?
He did not have that shit on.
Put your Sergio Tichini outfit on. Like, what are you doing?
He said, "I'm off camera.
Right.
I'm eating, but yes, that's mine. Go ahead and do it."
What you got, Mr. Hayes? Give us the breakdown.
I love that UPN one week they united all their shows, so there was like crossovers between the Hughleys because they acquired that from ABC. One-on-one, girlfriends, Moesha, like they all like intertwined 1 week. That was crazy. But to me, the illest was the jetpack episode of Urkel, which is the beginning of it. That's when you see the shark fin. They didn't jump the shark yet, but the shark is in the water. You know what I'm saying? So basically, Urkel can't do the rope in gym. Mm-hmm. So he invents a jetpack so that he can get up, ring the bell and everything, because Laura was like, "I'm disappointed in you. The Urkel I know would figure out a way." And then after that, he's like, "All right, I'm a genius. I'm about to make a jetpack." So then he goes in the living room. Why he brings his jetpack in the living room of their house, I don't know. And then he leaves in the jetpack. And then the freaking ceiling like breaks or whatever, and that's the end of the episode. And you like, "Oh man, Urkel might be dead. What's going on?" Right? But then the next show is Step by Step, and he lands in Step by Step. And not only that,
I love Step by Step.
Family Matters set in Chicago. Mm-hmm. Step by Step is set in Milwaukee. That's only like an hour and a half drive.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh, he probably could have got there. You know what I'm saying? Next thing you know, he hanging out with Cody and them.
Yep.
That's a crazy combo. Yeah, I never knew that.
It was fire. They killed
amazing.
It.
Can you imagine watching that for the first time?
Oh,
you
sitting watching that episode? We was hype. Me and my little sister were hype. We was like, "Yo,
that's dope." Yeah. That is a very
I like that
way
question.
To
can you imagine? He's like, "Yeah, I did.
I lived it."
That's amazing.
That's fly, bro.
Did you have any Cleo that you any crossovers that?
It was what Roxy said, you know, and it's crazy because that's at the very end of the episode. The credits are rolling, so that was just a throwaway thing. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure. What's the actor who plays the dad on Family Matters?
James Avery.
Reginald Bell Johnson.
So Reginald was not aware that James was getting ready to walk through that door.
He was so happy.
And he pulls up like there. And it's really cool just to see them have that interaction. Mm-hmm. As to two active, black dads.
Two
in that
titans of the industry.
Time out. 30 seconds. My time. When have I ever said that exact statement?
Okay.
Because you're pushing it. And I'm like, we can literally pull up 30 years of work and it doesn't exist.
He's never said that.
There we go.
You say something else, but Titans of the Industry is just funny and it sounds like something you would say.
That was, for me, special.
No.
See, what happened was we had filmed earlier an episode where she was cosplaying Cleo. And in that, her favorite statement that she kept saying.
Out here quote tweeting.
But you are a titan of the industry.
Nah.
I mean, I co-signed that for Rob.
I love you. I'm sorry.
I got to co-sign that.
Look, you know, anything for comedy, bro. Come on, you know that. Mm-hmm.
30 seconds. You can pull up my track record. Okay. Gee, Willikers.
Yeah, that sounds like a Brennan thing you did.
Yeah, you Brennan'd. Yeah, you just Brennan'd out. Oh, my God.
Yo, so, okay, next question. Looking back at the fashion and hairstyles of the 90s, the black TV show specifically, which trends do you think have aged the best and which ones do you think should be forgotten?
Keep Moesha's braids forever.
Yeah.
Keep Moesha's braids forever.
Calm down.
Brandy.
Open your eyes.
I think.
Forever.
I think.
Yeah.
It
was a wig.
Who gives a shit?
How you gonna take that wig?
Wait, which like the night, like the season 196 braid?
All of
Brandy,
them, I think. Yeah.
Or the
you
like.
She had different braids every episode. She was taking that down.
I say this. I think that a high top fade.
Whichever one that she had when she was dating old boy from Onyx.
Q.
Okay.
Come on, what's all this heat in here?
Fredro Starr, that's
Fredro
right.
Fredro Starr.
I like the big one. Oh, when the little ones, I like all her braids.
I like
she made
with
me
the
want to get my
braids.
That's
you
that's,
like the which one?
I like red because that's boy
spiky.
Like the boy is mine, Brandy.
Those are
the record. I'm with you right now, Claire. That's a good
that's
look.
It. I'm with that one.
I like the curly when I was little. Okay.
I was gonna bring an issue of hype hair next time I came and get y'all thoughts.
What was it?
Oh, you should the magazine.
It was a black women hair magazine.
Yeah.
What was it called?
Hype hair.
Everybody had hype hair, and if you went in a beauty salon and they have hype hair, you want to leave.
Putting Cleo on, he's saving that for
Cleo
later.
Went right to his phone.
Hype hair. Brace was finna be one of mine. I feel like
is that Jada?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Cool. All right. For sure.
Why are you repping yourself? So yeah, I think just '90s braids is iconic. It was the big. Those are coming back too. The big Dookie braids.
Who had the best cameos?
In what?
In we're talking all these television shows. Who had the best cameos to pull up? I think it's Moesha. They had such a variety of different people that pulled up.
Yeah, Moesha had a good roster of people, especially on the comedy side.
Well, Fresh Prince
Bernie,
too, like Tyra
Anthony
Banks.
Brown.
Yeah,
but you can't compete with Fresh Prince. Fresh Prince has some people
too.
Play multiple characters.
They had
Queen
Pam
Latifah,
Greer.
Don Cheadle, Lorenz Tate. They all play like Garcelle Bovez. They all just like I'll come back. I'll go to Bel Air Academy
seven
now.
Times.
Yeah.
Wow, I wasn't aware of that.
Yeah. Oh, she was? Who? Pam Grier, who was her daughter in that episode where Will had
Elise
smashed
Neal.
Her? Yeah, that's one of my favorite episodes. It's so funny. You remember when he had smashed her and Uncle
Will
Phil
smashed
Smith?
Who?
He smashed Pam Grier.
What?
He was dating
you slept with Janice.
Carlton, go to your room. You never saw that?
Wait. What's
okay,
the setup for this episode?
So the episode, he was dating the daughter, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then he brought
Will
the Will was dating the daughter. Was Elise Neal?
He's being a gentleman. He takes Elise Neal to the hotel room, you know, kiss goodnight, sweet. He's ready to go home. All right, I'm going home. I had a good night. Boom, sees Pam Grier in the hallway.
Wait, and it's the mom, and the mom knew Uncle Phil. Uncle Phil, they didn't date, right? He just like had a crush on her or something
but,
like that. She was like the one that got away.
He keeps getting swatted by you know, light skin on Viv because it's
he's
like I
looking.
See
it's
you looking
Pam Grier. She
Yeah.
And so then she ends up, was it Mrs. Jones and him or whatever, and they had sex. So Will's so she's trying to like have dinner with Uncle Phil, and Will's like, no, you know, like don't do it.
Because I piped it already.
Yeah, well, no, just because like your wife already don't like you by this bitch, and I've already smashed. So he took him to the other room and was like,
ta-da.
Uncle Phil was like, ooh, you slept with Janice, and he like yelled, and everybody was outside. So. The girlfriend heard, everybody heard. It's one of the funniest. Whenever Uncle Phil would turn up was always my favorite stuff in Fresh Prince. But that's been going. Like,
I gotta go watch that one.
People be reposting it. It's so funny.
Wait, so Rob, I just want to see. Do you know what season, what episode that is?
Okay. So it's in the second half.
He's gonna find it. He's gonna find it.
Because okay, let's see. I don't know. It's got to be in the last three seasons because Light Skin and Viv is there also. You know, while Will Smith's in high school, he says, I'm a virgin to Carlton. So we're presuming he already had sex. We're presuming it's not his first time. So I'm thinking it's going to be maybe around season five. Ooh. But I don't know where. I don't know where. There's
can
still
we look
like
it up?
26 possibilities of where it could be. Probably Pam Grier, Fresh Prince might be the easiest way to.
That's one of my favorite episodes. Uncle Phil made the show. Like, I know it's Will Smith's show, but Uncle Phil is my favorite.
Season
character.
4, episode 22.
Oh, that's like the end.
Season 4, episode 22.
It's the last one. It's the cusp of 5.
Yeah.
That is so.
That's when he starts wearing linen, that's when it shows by the end. When he starts putting on the beige, no more J's. That's when it's like, oh yeah, they about to get out of here. He reading the Independence Day script right now.
Real talk.
No, what's funny is like the reason why I stand by that the wasn't written is because Will Smith was fighting for his life on the season one, episode one.
You can see him mouthing people's words.
No, not that. I'm saying he was fighting for his life when he was like needed the show to be successful. Because at that point, Will Smith had just got hit with heavy tax evasion fees.
Yeah.
He owed millions of dollars to the government. His wages for the first two seasons were garnished because of how much taxes he owed.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, for him, he needed this to be successful.
He was dancing in that first episode, card. Too, right?
He
didn't have a credit card.
He couldn't do, like...
Like, credit card things, he would just have to have a lot of cash. Like, I read the book. So.
He did put one of his family members through business school specifically for that reason. Correct. You said you read the book, and I'm pretty sure it's in that. It's in one. It's out there as far as Will definitely puts one of his family members through business school, so that way that they could oversee his shit because of what he experienced early on in his career.
He was so bad. God, he made millions of dollars from his music.
He wasn't bad. He was just a teenager with a million.
That's what I'm saying. I don't look at it like that. I don't look at it as like, oh, it's bad. It's like, bro,
making it to the Fresh Prince.
The thing is, it's bad because he didn't have any guidance in that space. That's what I'm saying.
Bad with money.
You know, like any teenager, I agree, would make that mistake. But he still made. I'm just saying a mistake is a mistake, regardless of what age it is.
Give me that money when I'm 18. My headline's gonna say parents didn't understand. Rob Hayes.
Hilarious. Hey, sit down. All right,
so look. So right now, Rob, we see that you have an encyclopedic knowledge of 90s sitcoms and TV shows that are specifically in the black sector. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to name a bunch of them. We got a list of them. And I want you to give me a very short response of like the feeling or whatever you want to say back to each one of these that describes the feeling of that show. Y'all can color commentate if you so like. You ready?
Love it.
All right, so here we go. Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
I mean, we've talked about that one.
Yeah, we enough. Did. Yeah, all right, so we good. All right. We said Family Matters. Let's go to Martin. We said Martin. Living Single.
Living Single. I mean, you know, it lays the groundwork for your insecures and your girlfriends. But it's, you know.
It's that shadow dance.
I'm a background singer.
Black professionals, you know, living together. We get a chance to see, you know, black women dating, a black women-centered show. You know, the guys are on the side. Kyle and Overton, you know, they're side characters. Like the main thing is Khadijah and
too much. Right, I want one sentence.
Okay. All
one
right.
Sentence.
And I want to sing the theme song.
I'm stopping. That's what I'm doing. Sorry. A Different World.
A Different World. One sentence. HBCU Hillman started in the 80s, continued in the 90s. Introduction to Jada Pinkett.
All right. Perfect. Sister.
Sister.
Hey.
You know, T and Tamira, Go Home, Roger. Tim Reed, who's married to light skin on Viv. You know, Jack A from 227.
All right. Moesha.
Moesha, Mo to the E to the, you know, a young black girl navigating in the world. I don't know. I can't think of another show setting around like a young black girl. At that time or afterwards. That's why I was shocked by Roxy, but it's all good. Seinfeld's about horrible people, too. But you know what I'm saying?
He's an asshole.
People love it.
Thank you. I agree.
His character, too.
Here I come.
Can we do the theme songs for all of these? I've been whispering them. There's a night that I check out.
It's on.
Time to get it started. You know what to do.
In Living Color.
Do what you want to do. In Living Color gave us Jim Carrey, Tommy Davidson, David Alan Greer, the Wayans, Sean Marlin, Keenan Ivory Wayans, like sketch show, black sketch show. The funniest sketch show. The reason we have a Super Bowl halftime show is because they did a simulcast against, I think, Gloria Estefan and New Kids on the Block for the halftime show. After that, the NFL hired Michael Jackson, and that's how we got the crazy halftime shows we get now.
Mm-hmm. Girlfriends.
Girlfriends. That's a 2000 show, you know what I'm saying? Diana Ross' daughter is a lawyer, and she could break the fourth wall till she can't.
She can.
And then her friends and whatnot. Incredible show.
Steve Harvey Show.
The Steve Harvey Show. Steve Harvey can play a saxophone, and also he was in a funk band, and now he's
when
a teacher.
When the funk hits the fan, all the people wanna jam. Come on, get with me.
All right, Keenan and Kel.
Get
Here it goes.
Please do Coolio, the song. Right? Everybody up here, go run and tell your homeboys.
The stars from all that, they get their own show. And, it's a slapsticky sitcom for kids coming on Saturday nights on SNCC.
All right. Hang with Mr. Cooper.
On Soda. And
Hanging with Mr. Cooper. Probably the show that changed the most. It went from a show about poverty and a bachelor living with two women to a show about, you know, my cousin and her kid moved in, and now how am I going to have sex when I got to raise this family that ain't mine to I'm married to Holly Robinson Pete, and then it just goes off. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. But Hang with Mr. Cooper was incredible. You got Omar Gooding.
Yeah.
You Omar Gooding, that's right.
Yeah. You got,
Waynehead.
Waynehead. That's Dwayne Wayne's.
Damon Wayans.
Damon Wayans.
The party's just begun.
Damon Wayans, cartoon. You know, he had them Forrest Gump things on his leg. And so,
that was such a funny show.
I was not aware of that until about a year ago.
He had the braces.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
That's how you become a stand-up. He has
something to say about C-Bear and Jamar.
C-Bear and Jamar, that's my favorite cartoon from that era. Unfortunately, Fox Kids made like a limited run and ran it for years straight. Mm-hmm. So we never got new episodes of C-Bear and Jamar. They also did that with My Brother and Me, where, as black kids, we'll watch reruns supporting.
Yep.
Thinking we're like, if we give these ratings, then maybe they'll bring the show back. Maybe we'll get another season. And they have no plans in doing that. Mm-hmm. I think, it's kind of sinister. All kind of guest stars. C-Bear is played by Tone Loc.
I love that.
Raspy voice ass.
And the dad is played by George Wallace.
Mm-hmm.
What's up? My Brother and Me.
My Brother and Me is a Nickelodeon show. Alfie and his little brother, they live in North Carolina. They wear a lot of Charlotte Hornets stuff.
He got fine.
And Amanda Seals was on there.
You didn't know that? Why you did that face?
Because when he said, I was like, that's not Amanda Seals.
That's her
different
friend.
That's a sister.
Yeah.
But yeah, they Goo was on there.
Goo.
Basically, Alfie would have these dream sequences a la Robert Townsend. And like sometimes they would have fun with the dream scenarios.
Yeah. Oh, the dream scenarios were wild on that show.
Can we please talk about Bebe's Kids and Happily Ever After and Proud Family? I gotta say something about that.
Go ahead.
Proud Family is the 2000s, we're in the 90s.
Well, I'm just throwing it in there because it was all made by the same studio. I had just made a video on Happily Ever After Fairy Tales for Every Child. Yeah, and which was a show that came on HBO. And it was like they were retelling fairy tales with different
cable.
Like cultural.
Man, premium.
They had that. I didn't even know what
you
that
see
was.
You see how she said HBO? Oh, it was on HBO.
I didn't know that.
It was on HBO, and they would tell fairy tales, but it would be like different cultures, and they would have like celebrities doing the voices. So Jaleel White was on the episode. He actually played the boy that cried wolf. He was on there. They had like Vanessa Williams on there. Tone Loc was on a lot of stuff. So the same studio that did that did Bebe's Kids. And when I was little, I don't know about y'all, but I thought that was really Robin Harris. I didn't know he had died.
Yeah, passed.
I didn't know that was Faison Love voicing the character. I really thought that was him. He's an asshole now, but he did a really good job.
He did a good job.
Of that character. And then I found out that's why the art style looks the same, because it was made by Hyperion Studios and they did Proud Family. So that's why if you look at the art, the characters look exactly the same.
I want to throw something in there as far as Bebe's Kids go. That tape got played over and over and over and over.
I used to rip that tape
so much.
It's
one of the funniest things I've ever
seen.
There's
a video game to it as well. Bebe's Kids video game.
For what system?
Mama so done it said it's cold outside. It's chilly outside. And she went got a bowl.
Look at them little press on toenails. I've seen that movie so much. Oh my God.
Love that roast battle between them.
We straight jacking.
So for the straight jacking record, I auditioned for the CBS Kids show, and they had I went in there and rapped that, right? Then I get a call back, and they tell the agent, okay, is there anything else he can say instead of that? Because I don't know, it was the black song, so I guess I didn't want to hear that. So I went and did Can't Wait to Be King from Lion King and booked
it.
But the fact that straight jacking, hearing rapping Khalil's part is what got me the callback. I'll forever be grateful for that.
Wow. That's amazing.
I'll forever be grateful for that.
That's super dope.
Taking a dump can be so
And
relaxed.
I just can't wait to be king. That's Jason Weaver. Also, he was on Thea.
That's right. He was on Brandy's
brother.
He's
trying to say no.
He said no.
That was amazing. Like, I don't know if you
that
caught that.
Necessary.
She was like, you give me a
draw
ticket.
I'm going to attention to it because I ain't ready.
He just, no.
You're not?
All right, so we're going to do trivia now. So, Hippie, how we doing this?
Roxy, this is for you. Name two recurring characters from a different world and tell us their roles on the show.
Reoccurring means they didn't pop back up. So they're not the main cast.
Recurring. Like, they not in the intro, but you see
them
all the time.
Oh, they be pulling up. Yeah. Okay. Well, Tupac came that one time. And then we're going to go.
That one time. So then they got a guest star role,
that's
Roxy.
Recurring,
what's recurring?
Recurring means, no, it can be someone.
Sinbad. Sinbad was up in there a few times.
What do you do?
And then he was dating, what you call it? The girl that was way too old to be staying in the dorms.
Janelle, it's up to you if you
Yeah, and then, excuse me, I'm talking. It's my time. Thank you.
That is a black woman.
And then bald man. And Lou Gossett Jr. up in there?
No.
Tupac was on. Jada Pinkett Smith.
Great reaction.
Jada Pinkett Smith was not in the main cast, but she counts as reoccurring, correct? Yeah? Recurring. That's a point.
Jaleesa was her name, and Walter was Sinbad's name.
Thank you. I'm sorry, I had cable.
It came on NBC.
Hey. No, nobody get points then. Nobody get half a point.
Okay. Don't give me half. Don't help me.
I know this trivia
take
about
my
racist.
I have lost.
I know my parents.
I have already lost.
What is Taj Mowry's character name? Smart guy.
Ah, come on.
But yeah, I don't.
Oh, we can steal.
Are you serious?
I don't remember his
name.
Just sing the song.
Steal.
Another Spice of the
Night. TJ Henderson.
Correct.
I get a steal point. Super intelligent, a fine young gentleman, a 10-year-old whiskey at Buzz High School, a tenacious little shorty with 1,000 IQ.
He got away with the ladies,
and he's
keeping
it real. My favorite little study buddy.
Shout out to T. and Tamara, little brother.
We know he look. Just give him the point. Don't even go to Rob Hayes.
Yeah, I'm still.
I want to play.
I'm asking this question because I want to say this person's name because he's so integral to so many things that are black.
Okay.
What occupation did Robert Townsend's character in The Parenthood have?
I love that show.
Shout out to Robert Townsend.
Shout out to Sky Townsend. Faison was on that show. Reagan Gomez.
Meteor Man?
Was he some sort of writer? Did he work for like a newspaper?
Wrong.
Okay.
Sorry.
Roxy knows?
I don't know. I'm just guessing. Was he like an ad exec?
No, that's funny. He was a former college professor.
Oh, I was never getting that.
So he didn't have no job.
He was broke.
Right.
So technically you're right.
Okay.
That's hilarious.
I'm not going to get it.
Okay. Parenthood.
It's a good show.
No, you're going to get it because this is open-ended and the rest of these are kind of easier.
Hey.
Sorry. Well, this was hard, but it's too hard. I wouldn't even know.
I want to hear it. Do it. I want to hear it.
I don't know anything.
So. I already know the answer.
Do it so we can
that.
Steal.
Okay, what song from a Tribe Called Quest was used in the theme song for the Wayans Brothers show?
I don't know.
Oh, I don't know.
We're brothers.
We're happy
and we're singing and we're colored. Da-na-na-na. Give me a high five.
All right, beautiful. What is the name of the song?
No, that's not the one. No.
How do two people do the same?
Electric Relaxation.
Oh, he stole it.
Robert stole it.
He got the point. Okay.
They had different seasons.
Why
you
gonna get to with me?
Because y'all know what Robert Townsend did. Loud and wrong. Done over there.
Was that not on there?
Yeah. After the people was like, you
sorry,
know.
Sorry, I had cable.
Q-Tip got single.
I had cable.
Rob stole
their
point. All right, moving along. Okay, so.
We were right, Cleo. They don't need to know.
Roxy, what was the name of the high school where Steve Hightower worked? Harvey Show. This is multiple choice.
Okay, go ahead.
We've got Lincoln High School, Washington High School, Jefferson High School, Booker T. Washington High School.
I know he knows.
Look at him. I'm going to go D.
Four. That is correct.
I always go with the D.
This is, why keep you a clear easy one? I don't know. Who co-created the Jamie Foxx show with the show's namesake?
Is it multiple choice? Is it multiple choice?
It is multiple choice.
Okay, cool.
Okay, we got Regina Hicks, Robert Townsend, Bentley Kyle Evans, Reggie Rock Blythewood.
I think I know this one, actually.
Do you want to steal? 5, 4, 3. Brendan gets to steal first before you rock.
He better raise that little hand.
Robert Townsend.
Is it Bentley?
You're wrong. He is correct. It is Bentley Kyle Evans.
I wasn't going to get it.
That's like his, like,
claim to fame. I was saying C in my head when I was looking at you. I was like, C.
He did look at you.
I was like.
He looked.
I was saying C in my head.
I'm giving this a harder one to Rob.
Okay.
What was the name of the music group on the Parkers?
The music group on the Parkers is called Freestyle Unity.
Yeah. Mama kill him.
Damn.
My T-Bow.
Damn.
They need to drop a mixtape, man. I listen to that.
And around and around. Okay.
They go. And around they go.
In a different world, which character briefly served as the acting president of Hillman College?
Is it multiple choice?
It's multiple choice, but it's just going to be names you know from the show. Dwayne Wayne, Lena James, Whitley Gilbert, Jaleesa Vincent.
Dwayne?
That is incorrect. It is, yes.
Whitley?
That is correct.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I got a point. Okay.
Who's
this had to be last season.
Yeah.
This was when he was
at Konishiwa.
This is the last round, true or false?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And around. Damn it, Rob.
So there's no stealing true or false, I assume.
Yes, there's no stealing true or false. So you get it.
Get your hands ready.
Okay.
He said no.
True or false? The Cosby Show was canceled due to low ratings in its final season.
True.
False.
Not worried. What they canceled for? That
they wasn't canceled. They ended on top. Theo graduated from NYU.
Then what did he cancel for?
And then they walked off into the sunset.
So that was a trick question.
Just walked off.
Oh, well then, so it didn't get canceled.
No.
Trick question.
So, but the answer would have been false.
All you heard was canceled.
That's stupid.
Must see TV is on their back.
That's a stupid question.
Okay. Jack A. Harry, who played Lisa Landry on the show Sister Sister, has an Emmy Award for Best Supporting Actress in a Comedy.
True as fuck.
Do you know what series?
I don't know the name. I don't.
And I can't steal it. Doesn't matter. You got the answer. 227, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I said, like, okay. Mary.
Okay, Rob.
Hard one.
That's what she said. Sorry.
Pause.
No. Okay. He gonna get it.
He's gonna get it no matter what I say.
Yeah, throw it. I wanna see it.
Okay. True or false? Kim Parker had a radio show called The Kimmy B Experience on Moesha.
I got two Parker Moesha questions. That sounds familiar, the Kimmy B Experience. I'm going to say yes.
Well, oh.
No? Okay.
You and these trick-ass questions. Why I say it like that? But yeah.
Okay. And you, sir, Brennan. True or false, the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air featured an episode where Will Smith's character Will gets shot while trying to buy sneakers.
True.
False. That was Family Matters that happened.
No.
He got shot. But not for shoes.
He got shot.
Yeah, for sneakers.
He was at the ATM. Yeah. You know, like, that's, it's the right. 90s.
I knew he got shot.
ATM dangerous.
Yeah. That's what I knew he
and
got
the
shot.
Sneakers was,
I knew he got
matters.
Shot.
So when that episode came out,
Carlton
was
bought a gun.
When that episode came out, I was grounded.
Okay.
I got in trouble. I was on punishment when that episode came out. And then I had my sister, like, tell me what happened. And she made it sound way worse than it was. She made it sound like Boys in the Hood. She was like, I can't believe they showed it on TV. Will got shot. And you would have seen it if you weren't being bad. And
ooh.
I was like, oh.
Wait, what did you get grounded for?
I don't know what I did. I did something egregious because I couldn't see the Fresh Prince. And then so for years, I didn't see it till I was in high school on Nick at Night. And I was like, I'm thinking he bleeding. I'm thinking like he in the hospital. It's like the worst thing ever. Because the next episode, he's still in the hospital. So I'm like, oh my God, there's a reason they won't show this rerun. Then I see it's stock footage of a white hand pulling the trigger. And then they go to commercial break. I was so mad. When I tell you, I thought, like, I'm thinking Ricky on the plastic couch. Yeah. Like, I'm thinking like he just really out here back popping up like a Power Ranger with the sparks flying. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm really thinking he going through it.
All right, guys. Do you want the results?
Go for it.
All right. So in fourth place, we have Brennan.
Yeah, I called that.
In third place, there's Roxy.
What?
Yeah. Welcome to the bottom.
You lost. You don't get to talk. Losers don't talk.
We are going to do a tiebreaker.
Because you cheated.
Let's get it.
All right.
This question, clearly, you're probably not going
to get. Okay.
Damn,
you might get it.
Who played the role of Vanessa's cousin Geneva Lee? Do you even know what show this is?
Yeah. I believe Cosby the Cosby Show.
Who played the role of Vanessa's cousin Geneva Lee in Hanging with Mr. Cooper?
Cooper.
This is multiple choice, so I will give you some actress names.
Okay.
Vanessa's cousin Geneva Lee. Was it Sherry Shepherd? Kalisha Smith? Holly Robinson Pete.
Oh, good.
Or Sandra Quarterman.
Kalia Smith.
Wait.
I'm out.
Vanessa is Holly Robinson Pete.
The role of Vanessa's cousin.
Right. So but I'm eliminating the answer choice.
So
I know his cousin.
This needs to be timed.
Is Raven Simone and them? I don't know who's her cousin.
You got 2 seconds.
What are the answer choices again?
Sandra Quarterman, Sherry Shepherd, Kalita Smith, Holly Robinson.
It's one of the two. We only got 2 left.
Kalita Smith.
I said.
No, he said Kalita Smith. Right.
That's why I said you only got 2 choices.
It was Sandra Quarterman. I'm gonna ask one more, and if not, we will end on a tie. What theme park were they going to in Bay Bay's Kids?
Ooh.
Fun world,
baby.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Thank you guys so much for tuning in for another episode of How to Nerd. I am one of your hosts with the less loud laugh and Roxy Hayes, the other host. We also have Cleo Thomas.
You
didn't
okay, but you didn't beat me.
Roxy, we're doing
Roxy
an outro.
Roxy was bucking on me in the hallway talking about, I'm going to beat you. And I was like, that is not that serious.
It was. Continue.
And he is a guest. Rob Hayes, thank you again for being here, bro.
Thanks
your encyclopedic knowledge of all the 90s black sitcoms. I think you know all the sitcoms in general, actually.
I mean, I look up old TV guides. I be keeping up with when stuff came on and what was going on in the past. So, yeah.
Yeah, grown man stuff. But yeah, thank you guys. Make sure if you, make sure you like and subscribe. If you enjoyed today's discussion, don't forget to subscribe to our channel. Like I said, we also got merch. And obviously, please follow Rob Hayes. Rob, you want to follow what you got coming up or tell him where to follow you?
Check me out on the Inconsistent Podcast with Rob Hayes. It comes out when it's hot and ready. And also, my comedy special, Frontin', is available. If you like listening to jokes, it's on all the audio things. If you like watching me talk like a real creep, then you can watch on my YouTube.
Roxy will be there.
Oh, yeah.
So, all right, guys. Thank you so much. Like I said, this is How to Nerd. You know, like, share, subscribe, and we'll see you soon.
See you on the next episode, guys. Bye.
Bye.